Hello and welcome. You are listening to podcast number one for the lecture Intelligent Agents in the Artificial Intelligence course. In this lecture, we look more closely at the model of the rational agent that we briefly touched upon in the introduction lecture. We go more deeply into the interplay of perception, cognition, and action. We look into the relationship of agents with their environments, and we discuss properties that we can use to characterize environments. And we look in more detail at several types of agents. You see those summarized on slide 2. We discuss the simple reflex agent, the model-based reflex agent, the goal-based agent, the utility-based agent, and the learning agent. The recommended reading is chapter 2 of our textbook. It covers all the material that I discuss in this lecture. The metaphor of the rational agent has been very important for the last 30, 40 years of artificial intelligence research. A central aspect of intelligence is the ability to act successfully in the world. In this sense, we consider AI systems as agents, as acting in the world, and we ask questions such as, what does it need for an agent to act at all, to be able to execute actions, and how can the agent act successfully, and what does it mean to be successful in different environments? Slide 5 is a reference to a video that you can find on YouTube. Here's a colleague from the United Kingdom. He introduces the intelligent agent concept to you. I suggest that you take a look and go through this video. On slide 6, I summarize the properties that are described in this video to characterize intelligent agents. So an agent must be able to perceive its environment. These perceptions must be used to make decisions, and the decisions will result in actions. So these are key characteristics that any agent has to satisfy. If the agent is rational, a rational agent, then the decisions must be rational. And rational means they must lead to the best possible action the agent can take in the current situation. As a side remark, on the slide you also see a yellow star. So with this lecture, I begin marking especially relevant slides with these stars. So here you see the essential learning content of the lecture identified in more detail. So we have these four properties of the rational agent, and the question is, how do they help us to build AI systems that act successfully in the world? So the name agent, as slide 7 shows, originally comes from the Greek word of agere, something to do, something to make, a unit that acts. A rational agent acts so as to achieve the best expected outcome. Rational thinking is one possible mechanism to achieve rational behavior. We discussed this already in the introduction lecture. Perfect rationality cannot be achieved in complex environments. Therefore, we consider a form of limited rationality. So we consider an agent as being rational when the agent acts appropriately in a given situation. Rationality does not mean that I know everything. So a rational agent is not an omniscience agent. An omniscient agent knows the actual effects of all of its actions, so it can in some sense perfectly foresee the future. This is of course not a realistic capability that would be somehow be within reach and something that we can build. So therefore, we consider a rational agent. The rational agent behaves according to what it can perceive from the environment. It may have some background knowledge, and it tries to maximize the expected performance. So in this sense, it tries to really be in situations it personally finds very useful for itself. So, for example, if I look both ways before I cross the street, and then as I cross I'm hit by a meteorite, then I can hardly be accused of lacking rationality, because it's rather unusual that I'm hit by a meteorite, and looking above to into the sky is also rather uncommon behavior when we are crossing a street. But on the other hand, if I cross the street without looking to the left or to the right, if a car is approaching, then I cross without looking, then we can, of course, start discussing if such an agent is really rational. It definitely does not maximize its chance to safely cross a street. So rationality maximizes expected performance, and perfection maximizes actual performance based on knowledge about the environment and the own capabilities that an agent has. So we try to be as good as we can hopefully be in a given situation when we are rational agents. On slide 9, you see a first architecture of an agent. So we can consider this as an architectural blueprint, a reference architecture for the very basic building blocks that any agent needs to have to be able to satisfy the three key properties that we have defined. So here we see the agent on the left with sensors and actuators and some white box marked with a question mark in the middle. So the agent uses the sensors to receive percepts from the environment. Then it has some internal capabilities, which we will further refine in the subsequent discussion. And this internal capability allows it to send some actions to its actuators. So with the help of these actuators, it can act in the environment. So the important question when we build intelligent agents and when we build AI application systems is, on the one hand, what do we put into this white box? So what capabilities do we need to implement within the agent? What sensors does it need to receive the necessary percepts from the environment? And what actuators does it have? And, of course, we also have to understand the environment. How difficult is this environment for the agent? What is the boundary between agent and environment? And how can both influence each other? On slide 10, you see a simplified model of a human agent. We are agents too. But of course, we are not always rational agents, and this is also good that we aren't rational, because that would otherwise lead us to always maximize our own selfish interests. So humans are often irrational, but also for the good of others. So here you see the human modeled as an agent. A human, of course, has sensors, for example, the eyes and the ears, the skin through which we can also obtain information from the environment. We have our brain to reason about our percepts, and we have actuators such as the hand, for example, the voice, our legs. And with these actuators, we execute actions in the environment, which then also leads to new percepts that we can perceive through our sensors. On slide 11, you see another example of an agent, the Pepper robot. So it is simple humanoid robot that can be commercially obtained. It has also the various forms of actuators and sensors. For example, it has a gyroscope, two-dimensional cameras, it has tactile sensors, it has a laser scanner, it has sonar, it has safety bumpers. All these are sensors. As actuators, it has, for example, loudspeakers, it has wheels to move forward, and it has two very simple arms and hands where it can do some limited form of manipulation of objects. On slide 12, we look at the vacuum cleaner agent. This agent will follow us in this lecture, and we'll discuss some aspects of the agent behavior and the agent world. So our little vacuum cleaner agent on the slide lives in a world that consists of exactly two rooms, left room A, right room B. It has only two possible percepts, so it can find out if it's in room A or in room B, and it can find out if the square is dirty or not. As actions, it can move left, it can move right, it can suck the dirt, or it can simply do nothing. When we compare this with autonomous vacuum cleaners that we can buy, and that actually came also out of AI research, but research that was conducted about 30 years ago, these agents also have very little or very simple percepts. They very often can't even notice if there's dirt, so they just wander around in some more or less clever way and suck everything that is somehow on the floor. So here this agent is even a little smarter, so it detects dirt. So one question that AI research deals with is how can we model such agents? So of course, first of all, we need to be able to store the percepts that the agent has received. We call this the percept sequence. So the percept sequence is the complete history of what the agent has perceived to date. So from the, let's say, birth of the agent, so from the moment it became alive, to the current moment in time. So in this percept sequence, all the percepts are stored. Then we need an agent function. The function is the agent function is a function that maps any given percept sequence to an action. So below we see the code of a simple table-driven agent, and this function table-driven agent takes as argument a percept and it returns an action. It has some internal storage, so we have the percept sequence, which is initially empty, and this has a table, so based on the percept sequence, we can actually look up the appropriate action. So this is a very simple form of agent which has a lot of memory to always return the action that fits best to a percept sequence. Then there is the agent program, which takes the current percept as input from the sensors and returns an action to the actuators. So the agent program maps the current percept, and it may respond to some agent table or agent function or not. So here we see on slide 14 an agent table. And in this agent table, we see the percept sequence. So for example, for the vacuum cleaner, as the agent can in any state have two percepts, we have as entries always this pair. So in the first row, the agent is in room A and the room is clean. The best action to perform is to move right to room B. If the room B, for example, if the agent is in room B and the room is clean, then the agent wanders back to room A to observe if anything has changed in the other room. If a room is dirty, the agent sucks. So this agent table, in fact, implements the agent program. If the current square is dirty, then suck, else move to the other square. So one thing we're especially interested in is the performance of rational agents. We want our agents to do the right thing. And the question is, what is the right thing? So in order to evaluate the performance, we have to define a performance measure. So the performance measure is looking on the agent behavior from the outside. So for example, for the vacuum cleaner agent, we can imagine various performance measures. For example, we want to measure the square meters sucked per hour, the level of cleanliness that it achieves, the energy usage it consumes, if it is noisy or not, the safety, so we don't want to suck this agent in objects that we don't, or people that we, or animals that we like to keep. Very often optimal behavior is very difficult to achieve, so not all relevant information is perceivable and the complexity of the problem is too high. In fact, when it comes to real-world applications of AI algorithms, then defining the right performance measure is often a challenge. So different performance measures lead to very different behaviors, and in complex domains, it is not so obvious which criteria we have to watch to achieve optimal behavior over a long time. To compute the performance measure, we have to take into account that each action of the agent takes the world to another state. So if the sequence of world state is desirable for an external observer, the agent has performed well. So let's assume we sit on a chair and we watch our vacuum cleaning agent. It does various actions, it moves from one room to the other, it sucks, and based on our criteria, we observe the sequence of world states and then judge if the agent has performed well or not. The performance measure is independent of the agent, so it's something like almost an objective observer that only looks at the states of the environment. Otherwise, the agent could achieve perfect rationality and perfect performance by simply deluding itself that its performance was perfect. Yeah? We also have to see that we get the behavior that we reward from the agent. So, for example, for the vacuum cleaner agent, one perhaps intuitive performance measure is to count the amount of dirt collected, because this may somehow relate to the cleanliness of a room. Unfortunately, if you think a little bit more about this, you realize that the agent could actually implement a rather suboptimal behavior to maximize the amount of dirt it collects. So it can suck in dirt, it can release the dirt if it has the capability to do so, it could suck in this dirt again, and so on. So with such a behavior, the amount of dirt collected would be the maximum possible. A more, let's say, aggressive vacuum cleaner could even go as far and start producing dirt to be able to collect even more dirt. So designing the right performance measures is in fact critical for applications. So the ideal rational agent somehow reflects our performance measures in its goals. It depends, of course, on the percept sequence that it notices from the environment. It may have some knowledge of the environment, and it has also a certain range of capability by executing possible actions. So as a definition, we can say that for each possible percept sequence, a rational agent should select an action that is expected to maximize its performance measure given the evidence provided by the percept sequence and whatever built-in knowledge the agent has. So now we have arrived at the description of the rational agent. Let's take a look at the agent environment and not only describe the agent, but also characterize the environment a little bit more closely. So on slide 18, we introduce so-called PEAS descriptions of agents. So PEAS stands for performance measure, environment, actuator, and sensor. So here in the picture, you see the example of a Pepper robot. The robot is in a station shop on some Swiss mountain, and the robot was programmed in a way to answer questions of tourists, and its performance measure that we use to assess the performance of this Pepper robot is the number of correctly answered questions. As actuators, the robot needs the loudspeaker, and as sensors, it uses the camera and its microphone. On slide 19, you see other PEAS examples. So for example, a medical diagnosis system. So you see suggestions for possible performance measures that we can use to describe the performance of this diagnostic system, the environment of the system, is the patient, the hospital, other things in this environment, such as, for example, medical probes that have been taken. Actuators could be tests that it can execute, it can utter or spit out diagnoses, it can ask questions, it can recommend treatments, and it can maybe also refer patients to other doctors. And as sensors, we essentially only consider here keyboard entries of symptoms. So you see more examples, and the book also discusses the different combinations of agents and environments and discusses PEAS descriptions in more detail. So on slide 20, let's discuss the utility function of the agent. So we have introduced the performance measure. The performance measure is something that we define to assess the behavior of the agent when we observe it. But of course, the agent itself also needs to implement a behavior and a goal setting and a mechanism to select actions such that it can meet our performance expectations. For this purpose, the agent uses the utility function. The utility function is used by the agent to evaluate the desirability of a state of the world. So the agent perceives different states of the world through its sensors. It has some built-in cognition function, if it is a more advanced agent, and it uses in this cognition function the utility function to assess how much, let's say, it likes the current state of the world or not. So the utility function maps a state, sometimes also a sequence of state, if we take the history into account, onto an evaluation value. Usually this is formalized as a real number. So we can, for example, simply normalize a combination of criteria to the interval 0, 1, a state evaluation that is closer to 0 is an undesirable state, a state that evaluation that is closer to 1 is a desirable state. So the agent uses this evaluation to select an action, maybe also an entire sequence of actions, and it may also use it to weigh the importance of competing goals. So we will later look at a goal-driven agent. This agent needs to decide what goal to achieve next, and in certain states, different goals may compete. On slide 21, we define this more formally. So the utility function combined with the percepts of the agent and any background knowledge it may have leads to the selection of an action the agent will execute next. A selected action is optimal if it takes the agent to a state of maximum expected utility given available percepts and knowledge. The action is rational if it always chooses optimal agents. Or let's better say the agent is rational if it always chooses optimal actions. So with this, I want to end this first podcast, and you can continue with podcast 2.